Who has taken my pain, turned it into joy? Who has straightened my path? Who has taken my sorrow and remade my tomorrow? Who has erased my past? None but you, Lord, none but you, Jesus, none but you, none but you, Lord, none but you, none but you. Showers of blessings. All my heart is confessing my love for you. Who is a song in my heart and the joy in my soul? Who with precious blood has washed me white as no Lord, none but you, none but you.
Message and song here, what a blessing. None but you, amen. And I tell you, that is truly something that we can look at to our Savior for. None but you. That's what God has done for us, amen. Now, I do pray that this Psalm 23 has been a blessing to you the way it's been to me. I mean, it's really encouraged my heart looking at this from the shepherd's point of view. I had three different books that I was actually reading through. One was actually written by a shepherd himself. And so a lot of insight I gained from just the shepherding field in and of itself. I mean, I've never been a shepherd. I've never done sheep. And so I had to rely on a lot of experts that did it. And just finding out what the shepherd's gone through, I mean, really was a blessing. The main thoughts here are going to be his fullness. That David is speaking about, and also his future with the shepherd. And so that's the angle we're going to look at from this. And again, as we go down, as we've gone down this psalm, just picture yourself as being a sheep and the Lord Jesus Christ or God Almighty being the shepherd. And you are that person or that flock or that sheep that he's shepherding along the way. And that's really the aspect that David is coming from when you look at this psalm. David is the sheep and Jesus Christ or God Almighty or Jehovah God, the Lord, is the shepherd. And so he is talking about him in verses 1, 2, and 3. But then he begins to talk to him in verses 4 and 5. And then number 6, he's going back to bragging on him again, saying, surely goodness and mercy excuse me, shall follow me all the days of my life. So let's talk about, first of all, the fullness. the fullness that David is experiencing here. The fullness. Notice he says down there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The fullness. I want us to notice, first of all, when dealing with his fullness, the fullness of favor, David says, shall follow me. The fullness of favor shall follow me. He says, surely goodness shall follow me. The word goodness really means pleasantness or bountifulness. Another good word that we could grab from the New Testament talking about goodness would be grace. Grace. Or unmerited favor. Amen. Once the shepherd brings the sheep home, he really doesn't owe them anything. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, God doesn't owe us anything? No. What he owes us, he didn't give us, and that was hell. Once the shepherd brings the sheep home, he doesn't really owe them anything, but it's his goodness, his grace, that allows him to take care of them. By the way, if we got what was coming to us, we'd get hell. Amen. So he doesn't owe us anything, but I'm so glad goodness still follows us. Amen. Because we have a graceful God and a gracious God. Amen. And so the shepherd, once he brings the sheep home, he doesn't have to give them anything. But this particular sheep, David said, surely goodness shall follow me. Grace is going to follow me. Favor unearned. You say, preacher, why does David need goodness to follow him? Well, first of all, for his footsteps in life. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you don't have God's goodness or God's grace on your footsteps where you walk, you can fall and get hurt. We were out soul winning yesterday, and Faith missed a step and tripped down and fell down the stairs and skinned her knee up. You know what happened? She needed some grace there. Amen. And the grace was she didn't get hurt as bad as she could have. Amen. But goodness, I need it for my footsteps in life, because David will be the first one to tell you, hey, I faced Goliath, I faced Absalom, I faced Saul, I faced Nathan when he pointed at me and said, thou art the man. I faced all these things, and so I need this goodness.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
For my footsteps. I've made some mistakes along the way, and I don't want to make those mistakes again. I need God's goodness. Let us not forget that the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. And so if it wasn't for God's grace or God's goodness, we wouldn't be saved. Because it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
And so David can say, you know what? I've been saved because of God's goodness on my life, and I can't save myself.
Amen.
Sheep are not very smart either. They're not good providers. And so out of the goodness of God and this goodness that's following him on his footsteps, David could say, you know what? Out of God's goodness, he satisfies me. You know, he sustains me. He speaks to me. And yea, he even scolds me when I need to be scolded.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but if I purchase my sheep and I bring them home and they're not doing right, I'm going to scold them.
That's right, Pastor.
Why? Because oftentimes what they do could hurt them. And so
David's
saying, you know what? I've got the fullness of God, and I've got the fullness of his favor. Surely this goodness is going to follow me. It's going to be there. It is that which saved me. It satisfies me. It sustains me. Hey, it scolds me on times.
Amen.
Why? Sometimes I need it.
Right.
Sometimes I need it. And so out of his goodness, why does David need this goodness? Because of those things. Sheep not only are smart or providers for themselves, sheep have a bad sense of direction. And so out of God's goodness, he steers me, David could say. He shows me where to go. Say, preacher, what could he steer him through? Through sorrows, through suffering, through sickness. Are those not things that sheep go through? Is that not things that you and I go through? Sorrow, suffering, sickness. The shepherd's been there all the way.
David can say, you know what, if it wasn't for you providing the anointment that I had for my head for those flies in my sickness, I would have been out there. Lord, if you hadn't anointed my head with that oil, I would have been out there back in the last verse. Lord, if you hadn't made sure that I was taken care of, I'd be out there through my suffering, through my sickness, through my sorrow. You're there. Remember, he lost the child that Bathsheba had, and that was a time of sorrow. And it was God's goodness that was able to steer him through sorrow, through suffering, and through sickness. Sheep not only are not smart and they have a bad sense of direction, sheep need help at different stages of life. A baby lamb needs different help than an older lamb. And then a middle-aged sheep needs different help than a baby lamb. And so as they matured, David's saying, you know what, as I matured as a king, as I matured as a shepherd boy, as I matured in my life, as I've gone through the kingdom from a shepherd boy in the field to being on the run, I have different stages in my life, and you've been there, my goodness. And surely goodness has followed me all the days of my life. I've been hunted. I've been hounded. At times I've been a hoodlum. I've done some things that I've been ashamed of. But guess what? Goodness has followed me. God's grace. God's unmerited favor. I didn't earn it. He didn't owe it to me. But guess what? I got it. And I had different stages in my life that I went through. I'm sure David had physical changes in his life. He got older. He had mental and emotional changes. One time he had to feign madness against the Philistines. He had spiritual changes in his life. David wasn't always the spiritual man that he should have been. By the way, we're not always the spiritual people that we ought to be. So David, reflecting on this fullness of goodness that he's got, this fullness of favor that he has, this grace that he has, he says, you know what? I need it for my footsteps in life because I haven't done all the things that I need to do. And I needed to satisfy me, to sustain me, to speak to me, to scold me, steer me at times through sorrow, suffering, and sickness. My stages of life have been physical and mental and emotional and spiritual. I need this fullness of favor. Amen. To follow me. May I say, second of all, not only does David say, surely goodness shall follow me, but mercy is going to follow me too. Not just the fullness of favor shall follow me, the fullness of forgiveness shall follow me. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is kindness. It's pity. It's not getting what I really deserve. Mercy is the opposite of goodness. If you look at it. Mercy says, don't give me what I got coming to me. Goodness says, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. And he says, surely goodness is going to follow me. I'm going to get what I don't deserve. But also mercy is going to follow me. I'm not going to get what I do deserve. If you remember when he sinned against God with Bathsheba, Nathan pointed that long finger. Nathan said, thou art the man.
That's right.
David said, I've sinned. He says, thou shalt not die.
That's right.
That's mercy.
That's right.
That baby died, though. Mm-hmm. Other things happened in his life. Absalom died. Mm-hmm. But he said, you're not going to die. You know what's worse than death sometimes? Seeing people that you love die. Mm-hmm. And God said, you're not going to die, but you're going to watch some other people that you love die. You're going to watch that baby die. You're going to watch your son die. You're going to watch other people in your life die. But you won't die. Sometimes you say, Lord, just take me. I don't want to see others in my life go. I don't want to see that. God said, no. He says, mercy shall follow me. Why does David need mercy to follow him? Not just for his footsteps in life, as we saw with the goodness, but also his fault steps in life when he's not right. Turn over to Psalm 103 real quick with me. Psalm 103. I want you to notice something in Psalm 103. Again, a psalm of David. And David says down here in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David's saying, you know what? That's the goodness that's going to follow me. That's the forgiveness that's going to follow me and the mercy. Verse 3, notice what it says, who what? Forgiveth all thine iniquities. And I love the King James Bible because the TH there means it's a continual action verb, which means he's not only forgiving you now, he's going to continue to forgive you in the future. I love God's word. Amen. I'm not just getting forgiveness now. He's going to continue to forgive me. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Hallelujah and praise God. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. What is that? Goodness. And what? Tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Notice this. The Lord is what? Merciful. And what? Gracious. What is that? Goodness and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in what? Mercy. Hey, friend, don't you ever stop going and begging God's mercy. He's plenteous. We have this idea, well, I did this sin. I might as well just take the consequences and revel in it. And sometimes that's true. You have to. But other times you can plead the mercy of God. Say, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I don't know what I was thinking. God, I don't know why I went there. God, I don't know why I saw that. God, I don't know why I did that. God, I don't know why I said that. God, have mercy on me. Never stop pleading the mercy of God. Why? God is plenteous in mercy. He wants to be merciful. We just have to go and talk to him.
Amen.
Just have to go talk to him. I don't know about you, but sometimes my children come to me and I want to have mercy on them.
Uh-huh.
I want to see them repentant first, though.
Amen.
And once they're repentant, I don't want to give them what they deserve.
That's right.
I want to have mercy on them.
Amen.
I don't really want to levy out the discipline that's coming.
Ooh.
If I see a repentant heart, and sometimes I'll say, all right, I'm not going to give you what you deserve.
Amen, Pastor.
Why? Plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
Notice what he says down there in verse number 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. He says, God hadn't given you what you deserve. Why? Of his mercy.
Yes, sir.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Why? His mercy. His mercy. Let me show you something about God's mercy. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Come here for a second, G2.
Amen.
You know, there's something about what he said, as high as the heavens. Now, G2, look up. If this ceiling wasn't here, how high could you see?
Very high.
Very high.
Yeah, amen.
So in other words, you could see forever if you had good eyes, couldn't you?
Yes.
So it says, as high as the heaven above.
Yeah.
But then it says, as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
You know, if G2 starts going east, let's just for sake.
Amen.
This is east. Yeah, this is really not east, but just for sake.
Right.
He could keep walking east and keep walking east, and east would never meet west. He could turn around and meet and walk west, and west would always go. He would never come in contact with that. But there is a point where the vertical meets the horizontal.
Right.
Say, preacher, where is that? Step to the side, G. Right here.
Amen.
At the cross.
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away, was there by faith, I received my sight.
Amen.
Now I'm happy all the day.
Amen.
I'm not saying the mercy is in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts at. And friend, you can't out-sin it. It goes forever and ever. And you can't out-sin it. It goes forever and ever. It goes forever and ever. It's in the cross.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
David saw it. High as the heavens, far as the east is from the west, it meets in the cross. Friend, if you haven't experienced God's mercy today, you need to. If you've not been saved today, you need to.
Amen.
You need to come to the cross of Calvary, and you need to see the death of Jesus Christ was for your sins. His burial was for your sins. His resurrection was for your sins. It met in the cross. And the only way David could say this goodness and this mercy is going to follow me, it had to be in the cross of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. This is for you.
Amen.
You need to be saved.
Amen.
You've got to come to the fact where you see that I sinned against a holy God, and the wages of those sins is death.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Amen.
What am I saying?
Amen.
One place where the vertical met the horizontal.
Amen.
Was only sufficed in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. If it wasn't for that cross, there would be no vertical. There would be no high as the heavens, and there would be no east and the west, because he could not remove our transgressions from us, because it had to go on a man. And the man was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That same Jesus Christ was Jehovah God, yes, which was sir. David's Lord and shepherd. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
What am I saying? High as the heavens, vertical. East from the west, horizontal. The place of intersection is on earth at the cross. In other words, David saying, the fullness of forgiveness shall follow me. Mercy shall follow me. That kindness, that pity. His false steps needed to be forgiven. God's going to remove his sin and restore his spirit. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What? His mercy, he saved. You say, preacher, you just said, by grace are you saved. You need grace and you need mercy. You need God's favor. You need God's power. You need God's ability. By grace are you saved. He said, by grace are you saved. But then mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I will give you what you don't deserve. Grace and mercy go together. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. What does it say? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I dare say that David feared the Lord. Go down to verse 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from how long? Everlasting. To everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. What did David say here? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And once David's sins were confessed to God Almighty, David could say in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, you saved me. You satisfied me before. You sustained me. You scolded me. Hey, I sinned. You removed my sin and you restored the joy of your salvation that you gave me once again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? The cross. In the cross. David said he restores my soul earlier in Psalm 23. Go back to Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness in verse number 3. Not only does David say, you know what? The perpetuation of my shepherd. I've got his fullness. I've got fullness of favor shall follow me. Goodness shall follow me. But I've got the fullness of forgiveness that shall follow me. Mercy shall follow me. And why does he need it? For his footsteps and for his false steps. But then he says something else here. The fullness of following in his days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow there is an interesting word. It means to run after, to chase, to hunt, to pursue, or to be behind. And so in other words, David is saying, you know what? This goodness, this mercy is going to always be pursuing me. It's always going to be following me. It's always going to be there for me. It's like a shadow. I can't get away from it. It's going to always be there. Just bring in some light and there's my shadow. And goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And David says, while I'm alive on this earth, I'm assured of the faithful watch care of my shepherd backing me all the days of my life. It's running after me. It's chasing after me. It's being behind me. No matter where I may go, I can count on it. Why? For my fulfillment. In my footsteps and in my false steps. God wants me to be faithful. And so God says, you know what? All the days of your life, you're going to need this. For your footsteps and your false steps. I want you to be faithful. And so I'm going to fulfill you all the days of your life. I'm going to make sure I'm behind you, running after you, chasing you. I'm following you with this goodness, with this mercy. Why? You need it for your false steps. You need it for your footsteps. You need it for the rest of your life. You need it, David. David's saying, surely goodness and mercy should follow me because I got God. I got Jehovah God. Why would he need it for his fulfillment? Well, David is saying, you know, God's been with me through the green pastures up here in verse number 2. He's been with me in righteousness. He's been restoring my soul. He's been with me down through the valleys of the shadow of death. He's been with me through the evil. He's been with me with his rod and his staff. He's been with me up on the tablelands preparing in the summer. He's been with me amongst my enemies. He's been anointing my head with oil. My cup is running over. In other words, from the beginning of the year, through the springtime, through the summertime, through the fall time, now back home in the winter, my shepherd's been faithful to me and he's going to continue to be faithful to me. This goodness and this mercy is always going to be following me. I don't care where I'm at. Because remember, he went to different places.
Yes, sir.
David said, you know what? I was on the tablelands in the summertime. And you know what he did? He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointed my head with oil. My cup was running over. He took me through the valley down here, and I had to go through that period of my life as well. And as I went through the valley, yea, he was with me. His rod, his staff, they comforted me. They provided me what I need. That was a season in my life. That was a season in my life. Here's another season over here. There's another season over here. But it brought me full scale back. And I look back over the year, his goodness and his mercy. Follow me through the valley, up on the table, back down in this period over here. Then the fall months came, and now I'm back home, back ready to get down for winter. Amen. And he says, all the days of my life. You know, we can look back over the years and see God's goodness and mercy following us, too. We're just as blessed as David. David ain't the only one that got blessed. Amen. You heard about Brother Joe Perkins' blessing. Amen. All of us have been blessed throughout this year. All we have to do is just look back and say, hey, what about that valley that I just came through? Hey, what about that table that I had? My enemies were around. He spread the table around me with my enemies. He anointed my head. What about that anointing that I got back there to do what I needed to do? Have God's hand upon me. Hey, what about that running over that I have where I could give some to other people? Hey, how about them leading of in the green pastures beside the still waters? Hey, how about that time? Amen. If you look back, you'll see what God's done for you. David says, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I can look back and see where he's taking me through. Verse 1 down to verse 6, I'm just reflecting on what he did. I've been down there with my shepherd. I didn't have to want. He made me lie down in green pastures. He led me by the still waters. He restored my soul. He led me in righteousness for his name's sake. I did walk through the valley. I did fear no shadow of death because he was with me. His rod, his staff was there. He prepared the table. He said, all that he did for me. Now I can look back over the year and say, God's been good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David said, it's been good. I may not have been the best sheep in the pack. I may not have been the brightest sheep in the pack. I may not have done all that I was supposed to do, but guess what? It never stopped him from loving me. Never stopped him from caring for me. Never stopped him from being my shepherd at all. Yeah, he just took special note of me. And saw that I need a little bit more grace, a little bit more goodness, a little bit more mercy than the next one. Amen. The following of God's goodness and mercy for me should lead to goodness and mercy to follow me for others. It was said in Philip Keller's book about the sheep. And I mentioned earlier that sheep can have a devastating effect on a field because they will just eat and eat and eat. And they'll gnaw to its bareness, nothing left. But he said the sheep in the hands of a good shepherd will get out and they'll be able to eat up certain things that are going to be a something distasteful to the field there. And he says, sheep in a good shepherd's hands will be allowed to go out and graze and clean up areas that normally would not be good. And then they would leave behind the manure. And the manure would help fertilize the grass. And the area then, after the sheep got done, would be better than before they got there. Sheep can do that. And so what David is saying here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's going to be behind me. I'm going to get God's favor. I'm going to get God's goodness. I'm going to get God's protection. But guess what? I'm going to leave some behind so somebody else can get some goodness. Amen. Somebody else can get some mercy. So somebody else can get some. Why? My cup is running over. And the same way the physical sheep would go into the field and make sure they ate up all the things that were there and then deposited the manure for fertilizer and leave it, it would be better than it was before they got there. And David is saying, you know what? We're the same way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm going to get it, but I'm going to leave it too.
Amen.
Why are we blessed? To be a blessing.
That's right.
Why do we get? The Bible says, give and it shall be given.
That's right.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom.
That's right,
the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again.
Right.
Hey, what's going on here? The goodness and the mercy that David is getting, he said, all the days of my life, I'm going to get it, but I'm going to give it out as well. It should lead to goodness and mercy. The goodness and mercy for me should lead to goodness and mercy from me for others. Sheep, and tended properly, can leave behind them a field of blessing or a field of burden. And the field is often a reflection of the shepherd's care. And since my shepherd has been good to me, the question that I have to ask myself, does goodness and mercy or favor and forgiveness follow me or trail me? Test time.
test time. Has God been good to you this year? We can't deny. Has God been merciful to you this year? We know he has. God's been good to us. God's been, now the test time. Have you been good to others? Have you been merciful to others? A couple questions that I want to ask you. Some of these questions came right out of Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Consider these questions for pondering. Do I leave for others goodness and mercy or grief and misery? Do I leave a blessing for others or burden for others? Do I leave behind me gladness or sadness for others? Do I leave behind me pleasure or pain for others? Do I leave behind me contentment or conflict for others? Do I leave behind me forgiveness or bitterness for others? Do I leave behind me peace or turmoil for others? Do I leave behind me fullness or frustration for others? Do I see sinners with a compassionate eye or with a critical eye? Do I leave behind me love or do people just want me to leave? Those are some real pointed questions. But now, all these things are things that I got from God. I've got some goodness from him, a blessing from him, some gladness from him, some pleasure from him, contentment from him, forgiveness from him, peace from him, fullness from him, compassion from him, love from him. What do I give? What do I leave? What's my trail? What's following me? David says, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. It's going to be there for me from God, but it's going to be there from me to others. It's going to follow me. The same way, goodness and mercy is given to me from God. I'm going to take that blessing in and it's going to overflow and I'm going to leave a blessing for others. How do you as a sheep leave your field full of blessings or do you leave it barren? Good question. Most of you know that I was in Belgium before I came to Tucson. And I did not want to come back to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Amen. And many of you know why. I was like the sheep that ruined the field. I did some things that I'm not proud of whilst I was here in Tucson. And although I wasn't saved, I still knew better. Amen. I knew better. Amen. I knew better. And I messed my field up. And when God said, you're going back to Tucson, I said, God, I don't want to go back to Tucson. There's some people there that I don't want to see. Amen. My field is barren, God. I messed it up. I tore it up. I said, God, I don't want to go back. He said, but you're saved now. I said, yeah, but they don't know that.
Amen.
He said, you need to go tell them.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
What happened? Folks, I was the sheep that messed my field up.
Okay.
And what followed me wasn't goodness and mercy. What followed me was a lot of bitterness.
Yes, sir.
And pain and conflict. And so I didn't want to come back to Tucson. I said, God, why Tucson of all places? Why not someplace else where nobody knows me?
Wow.
They will never see the glory of God until they see somebody
Amen,
like you.
Amen.
Somebody that messed up their field, and they see the grace of God that can fix that field.
Right.
And that field can be fixed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same way I fixed your soul, I can fix their soul.
Amen. Amen.
Some of those people I'm still praying for, they'll get saved.
Amen.
But I messed up my field. God sent me right back to my field that I messed up and said, okay, time to plow and till it again. And this time, plant some good seed. Plant the seed of the gospel. Plant the seed of Jesus Christ. Plant the death, the burial, and the resurrection of myself. Let them know about me. Let them know that you was blind, but now you see. You did what you did because you were a sinner, just like them. And guess what? I was still a little scared to come back. I didn't know what people were going to do to me. I didn't know what they were going to think about me. God just saved another one of those people last week, Kenny.
Amen.
Holloway. He used to play basketball with Holloway every day at the gym.
Praise the Lord.
He knew how I was.
Uh-huh.
He knew how I used to talk. He knew how I used to drink.
Amen.
Come 15, 16 years later, God brings me right back to the same place. Who is here? Holloway.
Right.
Brought him in here. And he said, as I preached the word of God, it was as if I was speaking right to him.
Yep.
And God saved him last week.
Praise
He was one that was in that field that I messed up. He was one of those crops that I had gotten down barren. There was nothing left. But God saved him.
Amen.
So David is saying, you know what? Because I get goodness and mercy,
It's going to follow me all the days of my life. I want it to be left. Philip Keller had an interesting phrase. I want to read it to you. He said this: some people leave such a sorry mess behind them wherever they go that they prefer to cover their tracks. For the true child of God under the shepherd's care, he said, there should never be any sense of shame or fear in going back to where they have lived or been before or people they have talked to. Let me read that again. Some people leave such a sorry mess behind them, he said, wherever they go, that they prefer to cover their tracks. The true child of God under the shepherd's care, there should never be any sense of shame or fear in going back to where they have lived or been before.
Amen.
How would you like to have been David after the sin with Bathsheba, especially when everybody had told him that that's Uriah the Hittite's wife? How would you like to face those same people that told you that was Uriah's wife? And you went out and did it anyway with a high hand. And then you brought her husband in and tried to blame it on him. And then you got him killed. And then you tried to hide out for 9 months and take her to wife and pretend that that baby is your baby. How would you like to be David during that time? David said his bones roared in him. He said he waxed old. He felt broken down. He said, God, you broke me. Some people don't want to face their field. But face it, we must. Face it, we must. Say, preacher, no, that's a hard thing. And no harder than coming back to my field.
Amen.
I held a grudge against somebody in my family for a long time, since I was about in first grade. When God saved me, he said, look, you're holding this grudge. And I said, okay, I'll piously forgive them. And I said I piously forgave them. And then God said, no, you didn't, son. You didn't. You still got a grudge. Or you can't even be around them right. Get it right, son. Get it right.
Amen, Pastor.
God finally gave me the courage to get it right. And guess what?
Amen.
I'm free. I can go around that person. That field has been restored once again. One of those fields that I ate up and caused it to be barren. I'm leaving goodness and mercy there, planting the seeds of the gospel.
Amen.
Sooner or later, you got to go back to the field that you messed up. My mother used to always say, don't burn the bridge. You might have to come back that way.
Amen.
It ain't Bible, but it's good.
Amen.
Why did Philip Keller say what he said? Because where these people have been, they have left a legacy of uplifting, encouragement, and inspiration to others because of what God did for them. Think of the encouragement David is being now to you and I through the 23rd Psalm because of what he left behind. Did he have some hardships? Yes, he did. Did he need mercy? Yes, he did. But he got a lot of goodness as well. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Last point, David talks about his fullness. The fullness of favor shall follow me. Goodness shall follow me. The fullness of forgiveness shall follow me. Mercy shall follow me. And then the fullness of following in his days. But now, his future, not just his fullness, but his future. David says there, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, you know what? I've got this goodness. I've got this mercy. It's following me. I'm trying to leave it for others. And as a result here, when my life is over, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've got it good already. Plus, I get to go live with my shepherd. I get to go live with my Lord. And my future with him is going to be fulfilled. I'll be with him and be before me all the time. Dwell means to sit down, to abide, to reside, to settle in. To continue. In other words, because my shepherd's been good to me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. My children will tell me on occasion, they'll get together and Faith will say, Daddy, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying with you the rest of my life. I'm staying right here. And Joshua will chime in. And Joshua said, me too. I'm staying here. I ain't going nowhere. And G2 said, me either. I'm going to buy the house next door. Stay right here. Amen. Hey, what did he say? I want to be close. I want to be close. The other two said, we're going to dwell in the house. The other one said, I'm going to come over when it's time to eat. Amen. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what David is saying. He said, look, I want to be with the Lord. I want to be close to him. He's been good to me. He's been merciful to me. He's protected me. He's led me. He's guided me. Yes, he scolded me. Yes, he sustained me. Hey, but he removed my sin. He restored my soul. He removed my guilt. He removed my sin. And therefore, I want to be with him. I want to be with him. I want to be with him. David said, I'm staying right here. the desire of the sheep. In Psalm 27:4, you don't have to turn there. David would say this: "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The desire of David, he says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Over in Psalm 84 and verse 10, he said it this way: "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." So David said, I've got a desire, I've got a delight, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be there, I want to stay there.
Amen.
Man, when I first got saved, man, you couldn't run me out of the church.
Amen.
Man, I was there before the church opened, and I was there long after they was trying to lock it up.
Oh, amen.
Why? I just wanted to be around God's people.
I
just wanted to be around God's house. It was peaceful there. It was serene there. And there was some comfort there. I just wanted to be there. I wanted to stay there. The people that I love most were there.
Amen.
I wanted to just stay there. Say, preacher, have times changed? No. Sometimes I'll just come in here and I'll sit in one of the pews and I'll just say, man, God, you're good.
Amen.
God, you give me so much goodness. God, you give me so much mercy. God, I just want to sit here. I just want to dwell in your house forever. I just want to be where you're at. I just want you close to me. Hey, remember, the sheep didn't have a whole lot of senses about themselves. They were most productive when they were close to the shepherd. They were in more trouble when they were away from the shepherd. And they depended upon the shepherd to guide them, to lead them, to do everything for them. They relied upon him. And so David said, I want to get as close to the shepherd as I can possibly get. And what better way than being in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? What better way than being a doorkeeper in the house of my God? I may be keeping the door, but at least I'm there.
Amen, Pastor.
And so David, as he's finishing up this psalm, he says, you know what? In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have any need of anything because my God is, his position is high. He's the Lord. I possess him. He's mine. The provisions I shall not want. He's taking me through all these seasons of life. And then we come full circle back and he says, as a result of God's care of me, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Surely I've gotten it from God and I'm going to give it back to others. Surely I can say, I don't mind going back to places because I haven't left my ground barren. And where I did leave it barren, I planted some good seed. I got right with God. I confess my sins. God restored me, and I could be a benefit and a blessing to others. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. You may have messed up your field before like a sheep, but guess what? God is able to restore it. It's not done. You till that thing up, plant some good seed, guess what? You get you a crop. You get you a crop. Let me ask you the question this morning in closing. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Because David said, the Lord is my shepherd. None of this could transpire if the Lord wasn't my shepherd. Say, David, how did you get the Lord as your shepherd? Right here. I went to the cross.
Amen.
The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I went to the cross. David said, you know, as high as the heaven is above, that is going to continue to extend forward. The east is from the west. So far have you removed our transgressions from us. They'll never be brought to question again as far as my condition in getting to heaven is concerned. And guess what, friend? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Guess what? You're a convicted and a condemned sinner just like I was, and you're on your way to hell. And if you don't do something, guess what? You will burn against God's will. Because God said he's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us word, that when did any should perish, it all should come to repentance. That's what God says. He would have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, friend, today, if you acknowledge the fact that you know you have sinned against God, you understand the Bible says the wages of those same sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
He took your sins and he pinned them on this cross. And as high as the heaven is and as far as the east is from the west, he says they will not be remembered anymore.
Amen.
And so, friend, today, if you don't know the Lord as your shepherd, you need to get saved. And if you're here today and you say, well, I know the Lord is my shepherd. When did you get purchased? When did he bring you into the fold? When did he bring you in? Hey, when the shepherd had the sheep, whether he bought them or whether they were born in the fold, guess what? They had to be born into the fold. Hey, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, we were both bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and praise God. That's good. We've been bought and born at the same time. If the Lord is your shepherd, he will never leave you where he cannot care for you, even through the valleys. God is good. Even through the by the still waters. Even when he's got to make us to lie down in green pastures. Even when he's got to restore our soul. Even when we are fearing evil, he says, you don't need to fear any evil because I'm with you. My rod's with you. My staff with you. It's going to comfort you. The enemies are there. He said, I prepared a table in spite of your enemies. What about those flies? I anointed your head with oil. What about that fighting and that friction? I anointed your head with oil. You got the Holy Spirit. You're all right. You're all right. Is the Lord your shepherd? If he is, he will never lead you where he cannot care for you. The shepherd would never put his sheep in danger. And God is not going to put you in that type of a danger. Yeah, we may go through some scary times and some horrific times, but the danger of hell will never be there. Never. Never, ever, ever. Remember his position, his possession, his provisions. I don't know about you today, but the perpetuation of David's shepherd. The fullness of favor. He says, goodness is going to follow me. The fullness of forgiveness. He says, mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I've got it. But it's going to follow my. It's going to follow me. It's going to be after me. Others will see my goodness. Others will see my mercy. Others will experience it. And so there's going to be no place that I can't go. Amen. By the way, I try to live my life in that way. There's not a person in Tucson or around this globe that I am afraid to see. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean everybody likes me.
That's right.
That doesn't mean at all. But there's not a person that I can't face because I've tried to do my part to get things right.
Amen.
Now, you can't make anybody get right. And I tried to make it a point. When I came to Tucson, I said, God, as you are my witness, I am going to try never, ever to do something like that again in my life. If I got an issue with somebody, I'm going to try to get it right. I don't want to come back to a barren field anymore in my life, now that I'm saved. And guess what? I've tried to keep short accounts with people. I've tried to get them to come to the table of reconciliation. I've tried to talk to them. And so I can walk and leave behind me some goodness and mercy. Now, what they do with it is up to them. But I can see anybody, anywhere, any state, any country, and guess what? I don't have a problem with them. Why? I got to preach this book. And I cannot stand here and preach this book if I know there's a problem between me and somebody. I'm not trying to do my part.
Amen.
David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Yeah, I've done some faults, David said, but guess what? I got God's mercy. I got things right. The Lord's not your shepherd today. Would you make him your shepherd today? Friend, you're in danger. Without Jesus Christ, you will go to a place called hell. You never suffer. Never meant that for you at all. For the devil and his angels. Come to the cross today. Get the fullness of his mercy. Get the fullness of his goodness and his grace. And ask him to save you today. Christian, for us, let's look back and see what God's done over just the past year. And see how good God's been to us. Whether it's been through any of the things David talked about. God's been good to us. He's been good to us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Just for a moment, ask yourself this question. Have I been born again today? Have I been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? And have I been born again? Because every sheep in God's fold has come through the cross. Every sheep in God's fold has come by way of being born again. Every sheep has had their sins forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, God wants to save you today. But my friend, you've got to believe that you have sinned against God. You've got to believe that God's going to judge that sin in a place called hell. And you've got to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You've got to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Christian, how about you? Are you leaving goodness and mercy to follow you so that others can walk into it and be blessed? Or is it something else? Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar this morning and get some things settled. If you're not saved, maybe you need to come and get saved today. Maybe you're not a member of a good, independent, Bible-believing church. Maybe you need to come and join this church today. I don't know what it is that you need to do, but I know you need to do something. There's a choice that you need to make today. When you look at Psalm 23 and when you look at what David said about the goodness following him, the mercy following him, and it following him all the days of his life, his desire and his delight was to be in the house of the Lord
And that's where he will be because he's born again. But friend, if you've not been born again, you won't be there. You've been in a place of torment. Would you come and get saved today? Christian, would you come and ask God to work in your heart? Father, bless now this invitation. I don't know who is saved and who is not, but Lord, you do. Lord, I don't know who's left the barren field and who has not, but you do. Lord, you know the need of this congregation this morning. And meet the needs in a way that only you can. Bless now this time. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Tommy would say, preacher, would you pray for me today? I've never been born again. I'm a sheep, but I'm not one of God's sheep. And you're either a lost sheep or you're a saved sheep this morning. And you say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not God's sheep. I'm lost today and I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you'd raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not one of God's sheep. I need to be a sheep, but I'm not. I've not made up my mind yet. I've not chosen for God yet. By the way, God knows. I'm not talking about your baptism. I'm not talking about how good you are, what church you attend, but have you been born again? Have you believed the gospel and been saved? Man, woman, boy, or girl, you'd raise that hand high. I want to pray for you. Christian, how about you? Are there some things that you need to get settled today with God? Maybe just praise him for his goodness, maybe for his mercy. Maybe you need to praise him for his fullness in your life, his favor. Or maybe you need to just say, you know, Lord, I need to desire to be in your house more often. I need to desire to be in your presence more often. I need to just plan on being a doorkeeper. Get busy in the house of God. Get a duty. Do something. But I do want to be around you. Maybe, Christian, today you need to come and pray that God would use you in a special way. Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. As Diana plays the hymn of invitation, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come. Move from your seat. Come down and just thank God for Psalm 23. Thank God for his fullness in your life, the fullness of